US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, welcome back to the live installment of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. It's Saturday evening, May 13th, and we are here with you live tonight from Memphis, Tennessee. James Edwards and Keith Alexander, after taking a rare, and I mean rare, night off last week, only because we were forced to, as we were moving from our old studio to the new. And by the way, yes, we are in fact set up in our brand new studio, which we can't wait to show you all, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fantastic new facility for us. I kind of feel like the airplane pilot who is taking the aircraft up for its first flight after everything gets disassembled and then put back together. I mean, that's what they always fear, even though everything's fresh and checked and tested. I don't know. I mean, we'll see if we crash and burn on the radio tonight, pun intended. But nevertheless, we're excited about the transition for all the reasons we stated to you over the course of the last couple of weeks. But we are back live tonight, and we have a hell of a show lined up for you. As I mentioned, we did miss you last week, but we took advantage of the time off in addition to moving over to the new facility to take care of a couple of other matters. Number one, from a personal standpoint, my wedding anniversary. Normally when I mention anniversaries, it's in context of the radio show, but no, my wedding anniversary to my wife, we celebrated 11 years last week, so it was nice to have a weekend off. The timing of it just really worked out well for me, I guess you could say. And then also, I did an interview last week. I'll tell you about that in a second. But how about last week's show? I know it was a rebroadcast, but Pat Buchanan in the first hour, proving to everyone what we can do here with an AM radio venue in terms of getting the big name guest. Second hour with Gene Andrews, sort of a continuance of Confederate History Month, which we celebrated in April. That shows we bring people here that's going to put history into accordance with the facts. He was on to talk about Fort Pillow. Phenomenal interview. You're not going to hear anywhere else on the AM dial. And then in the last hour, the Trump rally, the live broadcast we did from the Trump rally last year, proving that we have access to events and venues that others in our movement can't have. I think each of those 3 hours in three different ways really showcased what makes the Political Cesspool special. Speaking of broadcast archives, I do have to say this very quickly. I found out over the course of the last couple of days that Officer Drew Lackey died. He was, of course, a guest that we had on some years ago. He was the officer made famous from the picture fingerprinting Rosa Parks, the former chief of police in Montgomery, Alabama. He was an officer down there during the Swindle Whites movement. I actually went back after I heard of his passing and listened to an interview that we did with him in 2008. Boy, folks, Bill Rowland was a part of that interview. Listening to that interview with Drew Lackey, he was as frank as you can get about what Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and the civil rights movement, so-called, was all about. I'm going to replay that on an upcoming show. It's going to depend on when we have some time to work it in. We've got to replay that one again from 2008. Incredible living history. The man who arrested Rosa Parks, for God's sake, on this show, and he's passed now, gone on to his eternal reward in heaven, but what an interview we had with that guy. And so that's something we'll replay whenever we have time here, hopefully within the next few weeks. Tonight's show. Big show tonight. Big show tonight. We're going to be talking about the Battle of New Orleans. We would have been talking about that last week had we been live on the air. So we're going to catch up with that tonight. And also today's events in Charlottesville, Virginia, where they're trying to remove the Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson statues there in Charlottesville. Guests tonight include Brad Griffin, a.k.a. Hunter Wallace of Occidental Descent. He was down on the ground in New Orleans last week, as was Dr. Michael Hill. He'll be on with us. And David Duke, New Orleans' favorite son. So how could you have a show about New Orleans without having Duke on? Michael Hill, Brad Griffin, David Duke, live tonight on the Political Cesspool. I think that covers all the announcements. Keith, welcome to the show, buddy.
Well, thanks. Let me, mentioning Drew Lackey is really important. Because Drew Lackey was one of the few voices, authentic voices from back in the day that could tell you what really went down in the Civil Rights Movement. You know, the Civil Rights Movement could never have succeeded in today's media climate because there was no alternative right back then. There was no access for the alternative right that existed in embryonic status back then to get to a nationwide audience. If they had, they would have heard voices like Drew Lackey's, who knew that the whole civil rights movement, the whole presentation was a theatrical presentation. It was scripted, and there was collusion between the news media and the so-called civil rights pioneers, and we're still living with the consequences of that misbegotten movement today. In fact, one thing that's really important is in this, you know, Battle of New Orleans and the Battle of Berkeley and all of these confrontations between the Antifa left and the alt-right, you're seeing consequences and shadowing, but, you know, the shadows of the civil rights movement affecting things. For example, you're seeing that one of the results of the civil rights movement was that black people lost any fear of being arrested. They became, in their own mind and in the minds of others in their community, heroes for being arrested. This has had a terrible effect on black achievement, on black society since then. But it all had its genesis in the civil rights movement. And in fact, Rosa Parks' arrest was probably the signal movement, the one thing you can point to as the watershed moment when suddenly black people lost any fear of being arrested. In fact, it was like a red badge of courage for them. And that they didn't limit it to civil rights activism. Any arrest was considered so what at worst and a great feather in your cap otherwise. And that's why you have these through the roof black crime rates in America today.
Well, needless to say, Keith, what you know about the arrest of Rosa Parks was certainly a stage-managed, scripted event. It wasn't anything as it appeared to be. She was, I think, either the second or the third actress that they had cast to play that role of the one who was arrested on the bus. And Drew Lackey gets into a lot of that in that interview that we had with him. I'm telling you, living history on the Political Cesspool, I can't think, we were probably the last legitimate interview he had back in 2008, and he just died. He actually died a couple of months ago.
And see, if he'd been supporting the left-wing narrative about the civil rights movement, he would have been interviewed ad nauseum, infinitum, forever.
I didn't remember how candid that interview was until I went back and listened to it. What he said about Martin Luther King and just the whole mess. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. It was about a 20-minute long interview, so we'll find a time in a forthcoming live show to work that in at some point here whenever we can. But tonight, we've got more on our plate than we could possibly eat, and we're going to start taking it down bite by bite right after this.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
When a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around in there or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we're here to talk about the Battle of New Orleans, the Battle of Charlottesville, which is actually ongoing right now. We'll tell you what's happening there. You know, one thing about this radio show, we were talking about some of the interviews we've had and what we bring to the table here for the movement. Incredible run. I mean, even the Drew Lackey interview, I hadn't forgotten that we had him on, but I forgot how
good
stout
it was.
Yeah, well, I figured it would be good if we conducted it, but it was pretty stout. I mean, it wasn't just bringing on.
And you know, the thing about it, James, is that it shows you just exactly how mendacious the entire civil rights movement mechanism was, how dishonest and how in cahoots the media was to create the narrative. This, if there had been any equivalent to the internet back then where you could get the word out to people throughout the nation about everything being bogus, then you know what? It would never have gained any traction. It would have been a nothing burger.
That, you know, it's very interesting you said that, Keith, because you don't know what I'm about to bring up, but what you offer is an incredible segue. And it makes this early accomplishment of the political cesspool even more special, I think. You didn't have the internet back then. We didn't really have it in 2005, not to the extent that we have it now. I mean, certainly we had the internet, but Facebook was in its early days, and Twitter, I don't even think, had even been invented yet. And so with regards to the defense of the Confederate monuments, it's interesting that this is coming our first live show back after Confederate History Month. We're still on Southern issues, and we would have covered this topic whether it had happened in April or November or anywhere in between, but the timing of it's pretty uncanny. But anyway, back in 2005, we cut our teeth in coming to being on a national level by defending the Confederate parks right here in Memphis, Tennessee. I had an interview today with Red Ice, who was covering the situation in Charlottesville. Dr. Michael Hill, who will be our guest tonight on the cesspool, was with me to anchor a roundtable discussion. And I revisited this, and this was an article that was written at the time. In 2005, the staff of the political cesspool organized a rally at Confederate Park in Memphis, along with two other Confederate theme parks in downtown Memphis, which had been the subject of longtime controversy for honoring Southern Confederate soldiers. The park had been criticized by a black Shelby County official, which attracted the notice of New York-based activist Al Sharpton, who was invited to hold a demonstration in Memphis. Sharpton planned a march called the Rally for Dignity from downtown Memphis to another park honoring Confederate Lieutenant General Nathan Bedford Forrest. Sharpton canceled the march after Edwards and the political cesspool staff obtained a permit to demonstrate in Confederate Park located along Sharpton's planned march route. Sharpton settled for a protest at Forest Park. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, James Edwards attracted 200 white counter-demonstrators to the Confederate Park vigil, while Sharpton's protest at Forest Park attracted a few dozen black demonstrators whom Edwards referred to as rabble. I read that to just impress upon the audience who perhaps has joined us since that occasion in 2005, certainly over the course of the last 12 years, our audience has grown immeasurably. We've been fighting these fights.
We were country before country was cool.
That's right. This is nothing new. These attacks on Confederate heroes and icons are nothing new. And we have not only fought these battles, we have won these battles. So when we weigh in on issues, when we weigh in on people cucking because they've been called a racist, we can offer authority on that because we've gone through it 100 times more than anybody else. And when we weigh in on issues like we're going to be talking about tonight, we do it also from a position of authority and experience because we've done these things in 2005, certainly, and in 2015, Keith, just 2 years ago, you were there. We had 500 people. 500 people. We get excited.
I think that's an underestimate. I think we had more than that.
Well, we get excited if 200 people show up to a conference. We had 500 people on a week's notice at Nathan Bedford Forrest Park. Now, it is true that unlike the 2005 installment where we went it totally alone, in 2015, we were piggybacking on an SCV event, but I asked the SCV coordinator on the night before the event, how many people do you think we're going to have? He says, in addition to whatever you bring, we're expecting 100 plus whatever you bring, maybe 150. We had 500 people there. Most of them obviously are listeners because we had people from over 12 hours away coming up to us and recognizing us at that event. So we have put on these things. And so when we move forward for the rest of the show, we're talking about these events in New Orleans and Charlottesville, respectively, know that we're doing so from people who have been like people who a commentary and opinion and analysis on situations that they've never been in. It'd be like us telling Forrest how to fight his battles. Well, we've never been a soldier in battle, but we've certainly fought these types of battles. And so, you know, you're getting a voice of reason. And
well, you know, another thing that we had an effect on is that unlike Louisiana, Tennessee has moved swiftly and with determination to prevent the rabble from carrying the day. Now, the state of Tennessee basically has to approve any movement to take down statues or to change parks, change names and whatnot that haven't been done previously. Unfortunately, Forest Park's name was dropped just, they think, in the nick of time before that statute went through. But it's still in the courts, and our side could still win that.
But Nathan Bedford Forrest Monument and its grave are still there.
Yeah, and the reason they're still there is because of changes that I think we were instrumental in causing to move forward. Like in the state legislature, basically the Tennessee Historical Antiquities Commission has to vote by a 2/3 majority before anything can be taken down. And, of course, Memphis is the anomaly in Tennessee. It's the only city in Tennessee with a majority black population. So consequently, all the action and activity to take stuff down is going to be here. Just like New Orleans is a majority black city, so is Memphis. Charlottesville, Virginia, on the other hand, where they took down the Jefferson and Lee monuments recently, is of course a left-wing Soviet Union over there, like so many college campuses in America are. We're going to get into all of this and all the ramifications and what tools we have at our disposal in tonight's show. We're going to break it down and give a tutorial on how to handle these things.
Well, tonight's show is a one-trick pony, if you will. Its entire focus tonight is going to be on the war to eradicate white identity via our Southern heroes.
Yeah, the Southern heroes, that's just the first stage. They've already started in New Orleans trying to take down Washington, George Washington statues and Thomas Jefferson statues.
Andrew Jackson, George Washington, and even Joan of Arc. Yeah. Joan of Arc. So it's not just the Southern
heroes. I guess Jesus Christ will be next.
Well, sure. Well, everybody is going to be gone. And everybody will be gone if we allow it to happen because this isn't These aren't people motivated by a sense of justice and fair play. They're motivated by an unadulterated hatred of white history.
And they cannot be compromised with it. It's like trying to negotiate with the Ayatollah Khomeini. You know, if you give them half a loaf now, they'll be back for the other half next year if they wait that long. These people, this is not a Marquis de Queensberry boxing match. This is a to-the-death, you know, cage match. And somebody is not – only one person will crawl out of the ring alive. Our side needs to be the side that prevails in this. And it's to do it successfully, you just need to understand the dynamic of what's going on and why it's going on and who's supporting what and where the information is coming from. We're going to break all of that down for you in this hour.
Well, and you mentioned, Keith, in Tennessee, there have been some strides to strengthen by law the protection of these monuments. You mentioned the Tennessee legislature had passed a bill saying that you can't rename any historical park or monument. And who's to say that we and our audience didn't have a hand in what the legislature did? Now, certainly we didn't go up there and vote on these measures, but in 2005, when we had a bigger crowd than Al Sharpton, of all people, had. In 2005, before Twitter and social media were so ubiquitous, we had a bigger crowd than Al Sharpton had. And then, of course, in 2015, with 500, 600 people strong, that is something that sends a message
to the state
legislature. Well,
see, that's because our side is more popular. Our side is more popular because it's righteous.
So what would have happened had we not engaged on the battlefield? Sharpton would have had his march. No one would have been there to oppose him, certainly not the SCV. And in 2015, there had been a few dozen people, but not 600. So we've had a role in this, and when we come back, we're going to tell you what's happened in New Orleans and in Virginia.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Early yesterday, 152 years and a day after the Confederate president was captured by Union forces, his statue was removed from a pedestal, then put in a trailer and moved to a city warehouse, so says the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Police kept supporters and opponents far apart. The office of Mayor Mitch Landrieu issued a statement saying the city had begun removing statues erected decades ago, decades after the Civil War, to what was called the cult of the Lost Cause. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee's chairman, Jason Chaffetz, a Republican of Utah, is officially asking the Justice Department to investigate the president's abrupt firing of the FBI director. In a letter sent to the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, this week, Chaffetz requested an extension of an investigation of actions by the Justice Department and the FBI that had been started in advance of last year's elections. Quoting, "Previously, I asked the Inspector General to review the FBI's actions. Today, I sent a letter urging Horowitz to expand the scope of the review." You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, so let's just now, I think the table has been appropriately set. Let's dig in here. The Battle of New Orleans, which took place last week, Brad Griffin was there, Michael Hill was there. They will both be on with us in the second hour. So essentially what happened was, of course, the city of New Orleans was planning to desecrate three Confederate monuments there, and so the call went out for all good men to step forward. And certainly many of them did in the League of the South, throughout the alt-right, other Southern nationalists, and just decent people, regardless of whatever label you want to bestow upon them, showed up in New Orleans. And it looked like it was going to be much better than that. It looked as though people from the general Make America Great Again crowd, the Gavin McInnes, alt-light crowd, the civic nationalists, they weren't really
in the SCV.
The SCV, you can always count on to do one thing, and that's run. You can always count on the SCV to be consistent in that they...
Well, they also want to be the prime and exclusive spokesperson for the conservative viewpoint or the right-wing viewpoint, and no one is worse equipped to do that than they are.
Well, the SCV, I know a lot of great people that are in the SCV. Of course, I'm a son of a Confederate veteran. I just haven't paid dues into that organization because of... There are great members of the SCV, great members of my listening audience that are no doubt members of the SCV. Gene Andrews last week is a camp commander, so there are some great people in the SCV. But at the top of the head table, at the head of the head table, they're just pretty bad. And my experience with them in Memphis was poor. In 2005, they said they were going to go in with us on that rally to oppose Sharpton. Then literally at the 11th hour, they called me and they said, well, we really can't do this. We know that
if you want to learn how to fail... Duplicate. Study what the SCV has done. Here's the problem with the SCV. They want to remain respectable. They think like a Sean Hannity does, like a Bill O'Reilly does, like so many of these mainstream commentators, Glenn Beck comes to mind, that somehow you can reason with the left, that somehow there is some sweet spot that we just haven't discovered yet where they will turn into reasonable, rational people. They're not. They're haters. They're what they, you know, black people have popularized that particular theme, you know, that people are haters and whatnot. Well, it perfectly describes the left. The left, the Antifa left, and not just the Antifa left, but the mainstream Democrats. They are haters first and foremost. You're never going to win an argument with a hater. You're only going to defeat them. They're going to smack you down, and you're going to smack them down. Now, here's how we do this. Within the law, you've got to understand that the civil rights movement basically was propelled by two things. One was the willingness of the liberal side to go to jail and to defy the law enforcement agencies and the law enforcement apparatus of America, and on the other hand, the compliance of white people. For example, look at the Brown versus Board of Education decision. It came in. It was totally unsupported by stare decisis or precedents. It was a usurpation of legislative authority. But people said, well, you know, if the Supreme Court says it, there must be something wrong with segregation. So we'll try to go along with this and see what we can do. Well, they found out that they had unleashed a monster with an insatiable appetite. You know, they're not satisfied just with blacks being the equal of whites. Now, homosexuals, illegal immigrants, transgendered people, whatever, everything it follows this same equality rubric, and it's being done for the express purpose of deconstructing Western civilization, or, dare we say it, white civilization. They want to destroy us. They can't overcome us.
Keep talking. Anyway, so I appreciate you saying all that, Keith. And of course, getting back to what happened in the Battle of New Orleans, and this goes back to the SCV as well. The SCV commander in Louisiana, based upon reports that I've seen, ordered the SCV members to stand down, to not even show up to defend their heroes there. So that's what you get. Now, the SCV does a lot of good things, but when it comes time for a conflict, they're either going to not show up or they're going to oppose you, as they did here in Memphis with us in the past. And Bill Rowland used to be a camp commander. Our dearly departed co-host Bill Rowland used to be the commander of the D.S. Job camp here in Memphis, and they completely disassociated that entire camp because they actually wanted to do things that mattered instead of, I guess, just hold meetings
and
talk.
Well, how can we do this? On the other hand, let me say this for the so-called cucks. It's probably good that white people aren't indifferent to getting a criminal record. They don't want to go to jail. If you've ever been cuffed and stuffed, and as Johnny Paycheck said, they take your belt and your billfold, your fingerprints and a profile of your face, and then have a criminal record, that's not something to be taken lightly, but there are countermeasures you can do so that you don't become like the liberal community and be totally indifferent to having a criminal record. That's why so many of these leftists are such bums. They can't find a good job after they get something like that. Now, there's a way to handle it. We need to make sure that every confrontation is on film and that we always allow the left to strike the first blow. That has to be done in order to protect yourself legally. And that's the only way you can protect yourself legally is, you know, you've got to have that proof. They say a oral contract is worth the paper it's printed on. Your oral version of what happened, and you have an oral version from a leftist of what happened, is going to be a stalemate, and you're going to lose that stalemate because of the leftist orientation of our government, of our legal system now. The only way you'll win it is to provide proof that you were acting in self-defense and they weren't.
That's true. We need cameras on all of this stuff. But the bottom line is we can't concern ourselves with that too much. We still have to show – I mean, we need to concern ourselves with that and be responsible, but we still can't allow the fear of something going wrong keep us from going out and engaging. We have got to do – listen, and I wouldn't ask anybody out there to do something we haven't done, which is why I gave the history of some of our activities at the top of this hour before we continue on. We would never advocate for anyone to take a stand that we haven't taken, but we've taken these stands. And what happened in New Orleans, Keith, is that certainly whites – you know, you had the cucks there, but it wasn't that they were cucking for fear of being arrested. They came to oppose the people who were there to defend the monuments and the Southern nationalists. So I'm not talking about
you can't win
Antifa.
That. You know, you cannot win with that type of strategy. But here's what you need to understand. Where are they getting the intelligence? How do they know where to go on the left? Well, you'd be surprised at how stupid the left is about our movement. They have no idea what's going on, who's animating it, why it's being done. They live in their own little bubble. What they do is they rely on the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have what they call the intelligence report, and that's very telling. They are the intelligence agency for the radical left. They are like the FBI for them. They provide all the information. For example, the Middlebury College confrontation with Charles Murray was basically they sent out the cattle call for that. They sent out the cattle call for Berkeley and also New Orleans recently. I don't know whether they did Charlottesville or not, but see, that's where they're getting the information. That's where they're finding out where to go and what to do.
Okay, but we're talking about the Antifa now. What I'm talking about here, yes, there's two different kinds of cucks. There's a cuck that's a white that's in the Antifa. I mean, he's really bad off. He's probably beyond repair. But then we have also the cucks that appeared in New Orleans who were presumably coming to support us. At least that's what their social media suggested. People who had supported Donald Trump, people who were members of the alt-right, people who had even participated in the Battle of Berkeley for our side, they came out to New Orleans and then started shouting. This was the big takeaway that Brad Griffin had, and we're going to have him talk about this in the second hour. Began to engage our people and were chanting with the black malcontents and the Antifa.
They would have been better off not to show it all. The SCV is when they said, "Are you a man or a mouse?" They said, "Pass the cheese." So, we need to understand who our allies are and who they're not. And quite frankly, you need to either lead, follow, or get out of the way. We're getting a lot of good publicity from this. You know, the left is intending this to be, they're throwing lemons at us and we're turning it into lemonade. We're getting more support on this than we've ever had before. We just need to make sure that we protect people that decide to go out and stand up and cause things to happen. by having everything recorded. Every protest needs to have a cameraman there, and we need to have everything focused there. We have probably multiple cameramen, and whatever it takes to do that, that's what we got to do. It doesn't really take a lot of money or technology now. Everybody's cell phone can record this stuff, but we need to make sure everything is recorded.
All that's true. All that's true, but we still have to show up, and we have to show up in larger numbers than what we've been doing, and we have to understand that, yes, this is about the South. This is about our Southern heroes. But as I said today in an earlier interview, it's about a lot more than that. It's about our people going back to Europe. The Confederate flag is, of course, the St. Andrew's Cross, which is a cross of the Christian people who came from Scotland and Ireland and settled this country, settled the South. It's a war against our identity. It's a war against our people. And Michael Hill said something that really stuck with me today. Right now, it's a war against stone and fiber. It's a war against statues and flags. Tomorrow, it'll be a war against our flesh and blood. And that's what, listen, that's what it's about, folks. They're playing for keeps, and they're not going to stop with our icons.
And we need to wake up and smell the coffee, folks.
We'll be back. A little more background before we start bringing on our trio of guests.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I feel like we're glossing over what happened in New Orleans last week a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, but you got to understand that happened a week ago. By now, most of the people here are well aware of what happened, but just a 60-second course, and then we got to move on. So certainly a lot of great people, including two of our guests tonight, Brad Griffin and Michael Hill, were there leading the resistance to the removal of these
monuments. We're not part of the Cut Brigade.
No, but the big takeaway was that quite a lot of people who presumably in advance of the event, were going to be on our side, showed up to call anyone with a Confederate flag a white supremacist and a racist. And there was Stuart Rhodes of the Oath Keepers who was part of this opposition. And it was just a big, confusing. Well, it was surprising. It was unpleasantly surprising that these people came and either did nothing or actively sided against
the kept
people.
Opposition. They may be getting paid by the other side, or confronted with the possibility of being arrested, they just decided that they were going to fold their colors and retreat. Now, this is bad news. That's why we need to tell people they have nothing to fear but fear themselves.
Well,
okay? And we need to tell them, give them the substance of why that is.
Well, and of course, since then, now, it was a good day. A lot of people, a lot of good people went there to defend their heroes. But I think the biggest takeaway we would have to agree was the number of people who came in that we thought were going to be supporters, but turned out to be
a fifth column.
Yeah. All right. So since then, of course, we know that the black malcontent contingent in Louisiana is now pushing
leader.
For the George Washington statue to be removed from there, Joan of Arc. Any white person really has to go in New Orleans. And, of course, there on Thursday, just 2 days ago, if you're listening to this live right now, Jefferson Davis statue in New Orleans was removed. So it was removed. And
by the white mayor of New Orleans, by the way, another cuck of the worst stripe.
Brad Griffin, who will be our first of the three guests tonight. Remember, Michael Hill and David Duke also appearing this evening live on the Political Cesspool. Live on the Political Cesspool. He wrote this. I'm going to turn it over to Keith. Brad Griffin really put a nice capstone on the removal of the President Davis statue there. Here's what he writes, and I want to get this before Brad comes on because I want to have a lot of time to go back and forth with Brad rather than setting the stage for him. That's what we're doing right now. Brad wrote this at OccidentalDescent.com. There's a reason why one generation erected these Confederate monuments and why another has singularly failed to preserve them. The reason is that the character of our people has changed over the course of the last century. 100 years ago, white Southerners still had a sense of honor. They were proud of their race, proud of their unique culture, and above all else, they were proud of the sacrifices made by their fathers, which is why they erected these monuments in the first place. A century ago, it would have been unthinkable for our forefathers to hide, trembling, trying to prove how tolerant they were to a bunch of communists and anarchists. I don't have anything against people who support preserving our heritage, but it's a bizarre fixation of the baby boomer generation who are obsessed with proving that there were millions of non-whites who fought for the South. How do we explain this bizarre behavior? We live in a culture in which only non-whites possess moral legitimacy. In the so-called mainstream, whites don't have moral legitimacy. It's verboten for whites to organize, to defend, and advocate their own interests in the public sphere. According to the so-called mainstream, the worst thing you can be in this society is a quote-unquote racist or a quote-unquote white supremacist. And those terms are thrown around so casually that just being out there with a Confederate flag or supporting a Confederate monument in public is enough to get you branded as such. Brad concludes, that's why we're losing the heritage battles. Everyone on our side of this debate, but a small minority, is too cowed and intimidated to advocate for their own cause. They're too apathetic, individualistic, and materialistic to form an effective opposition. They're not mean enough and organized enough to fight back successfully. I'm afraid that our prosperity has made us weak and decadent. Well, I can tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. You've got some scrappers here in the political cesspool who are not afraid to take our own side.
Well, let me say something. As a member, an official member of the baby boom generation, let me say something in defense of baby boomers, okay? It was not the baby boomers that let the camel's nose into the tent and started the tradition of losing that has been going on and has been advancing under the relentless pressure of cultural Marxism in every major institution that sets opinions in the West, not only America, but Europe today. It was the so-called greatest generation that didn't take to the streets and turn back the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which was the beginning of the whole sordid mess. Then all of these other decisions. People were cowed because the Supreme Court said it was so, and the Supreme Court had a lot of undeserved respect in the American public mind back then. They didn't know about Jewish power and influence, and nobody would tell them about it. CBS, NBC, ABC, all the news media, all the major newspapers, all the weekly news magazines and whatnot, both glossies and pulps, were run by Jewish power and influence. And Jewish power and influence is what's driving it. Black people, Hispanic people, Muslims, whatever, they're just foot soldiers. Same thing for white Gentile Antifa people. The people that are really masterminding and financing the whole thing are Jewish power and influence. And if you can't discuss Jewish power and influence, then you're never going to say something that really rings true with the public, because you are identifying symptoms but not identifying the causes. And everybody wants to know what the cause is. Now, it has continued because I always say we won the first Reconstruction and lost the second Reconstruction. The Civil Rights Movement is also called Second Reconstruction. Why? There was no Jewish presence in the first Reconstruction. They had not started to come over in critical mass. That started with the second great wave of immigration from 1890 to 1920. The reason that we seem to have lost the second Reconstruction is because of the presence of that special sauce, that secret sauce, that special ingredient, Jewish power and influence, Jewish money, Jewish media control. That's what has caused the change in America, and it's a change for the worse. We need to change America back, seriously, in order to regain basically the land our fathers bequeathed to us. And it wasn't the baby boomers that lost it. It was the so-called greatest generation. The baby boomers were not effective in reversing it. And time will tell whether the Generation Xers and the millennials are going to be successful in doing it either. But let me tell you, it's an uphill task for any group to do that. You just can't deal with that level of mendacity, with that level of unexpressed but unquenchable hatred that Jewish power and influence has for white Gentile society and cultures. That's what all this is a manifestation of. And what we're also seeing is anarcho-tyranny. Sam Francis, the late great Sam Francis, coined the term. That's what we have in law enforcement now, is anarchy in protecting law-abiding citizens from the depredations of street criminals. And you have tyranny, you have the law being used to punish otherwise law-abiding citizens, people that just have a traditionalist viewpoint. Well, that's exactly what we're seeing in Berkeley, in New Orleans, in Charlottesville. You see the police sitting on their hands, looking up, whistling, when the left is attacking the right. But on the other hand, if the right responds in self-defense, suddenly they swing into action and start making arrests. This is anarcho-tyranny at its most fundamental manifestation. We need to understand this. And we have people that are law-abiding and law-respecting, and we're going up against people that have no respect for the law. And remarkably, law enforcement is supporting them and not us, because they're getting that message from their paymasters. We're going to have to ask law enforcement to step up and do their duty and start arresting these leftists and also, you know, prosecuting them to the full extent. They're the ones that are causing the trouble. We never go to any of these rallies, the right, looking for trouble. We go there to protest, as we are protected and guaranteed to be able to do by the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Keith, excellent commentary, as always, from you. And we peacefully assemble, they riot. But I will tell you, even though we peacefully assemble, we are getting much more forceful and demonstrative in terms of, hey, you're not going to come here, break the law, desecrate our heroes, and get away with it. And there's a manliness to the things that we do. Certainly, we exhibited it in 2005, 2015. But I'm telling you, what I've seen even today in Charlottesville, I was on with Red Ice today, as I mentioned, for a roundtable. But before I came on with Dr. Michael Hill, and you can see that on YouTube, we'll put it up to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, on Monday. Richard Spencer was there giving a speech with Confederate flags all around him. Sam Dixon, Nathan D'Amigo, and a great crowd of unapologetic, uncucked people waving the Confederate flag, saluting General Lee, standing for General Jackson. And things are changing. Things are changing as we sit and as we speak right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think that we need to understand what is happening. We've got this dynamic going on right now, and we need to be in the forefront of it. You no longer have – people are coming around to the idea that racist is a empty charge. none of our ancestors prior to the mid-30s had even heard of it because no one invented it. It was not brought down by Moses on a tablet from the mountain along with the Ten Commandments. But you go to a typical church nowadays, it outdoes any other of the crimes that are listed in the Ten Commandments. You know, murder pales in comparison to racism. So what we need to do is let people know the genesis of things like the term racism. Racism is a nothing burger. All of these charges they're leveling against us are nothing burgers. We need to, you know, the founding fathers had no concept of racism. The, you know, the patriarchs of the Old Testament and the New Testament had no content or no idea of what you would have been talking about. We need to go back to the basics, and we need to found everything that we do on that type of authority.
One more breaking bit of news, ladies and gentlemen. In Marietta, Georgia today, Antifa were threatening to destroy a Confederate cemetery. People stood up. They defended the cemetery, won the day. We are winning battles because we are showing up. Stay tuned.